some big news out of the media world this week. A hedge fund-backed company has made an offer to buy out Gannett Company.
Gannett is a huge name in newspaper publishing with papers like USA Today. Here in Wisconsin, they own the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, along with 10 other local papers across the state.
The company making the offer has been called the destroyer of newspapers. And even though nothing is final about the deal yet, a lot of media watchers are nervous about what the sale could mean for local journalism.
Margot Suska is a professor of journalism at American University. She directs the school's Masters of Journalism and Digital Storytelling program. Margot, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a tale of two companies here, Gannett and MNG Enterprises, not a household name, I don't think. Tell us a little bit about what we know about this company and how they treat the newspaper business.
Well, MNG actually is owned by or backed by a hedge fund called Alden. And what we know about MNG really right now is that they're Gannett's largest shareholder. They own 7.5% of Gannett's stock. And in a letter to shareholders that the Wall Street Journal broke over the weekend, they said they aren't happy with the way Gannett is being managed. They think that they can manage it better. And they offered a price of $12 a share, so a little bit up above where that stock was trading at the end of last week. And I think all of us are now kind of waiting on pins and needles to see how the shareholders are going to react to this news.
How has MNG operated other papers that they've bought in the past?
Well, MNG is known as a destroyer of newspapers. They are, operated by a hedge fund, their number one concern is profit. And they come in, they slash staff, they slash coverage. It is not good news for any of the communities that are currently covered by Gannett newspapers. This is not a company that's concerned with quality journalism. This is not a company that is concerned with journalism's role in democracy. And I think this is bad news for local journalism.
Gannett has been criticized in the past. They bought out a lot of newspapers, local newspapers, all over the country, and people have complained, media observers complained that they've cut staff, thus limiting some of the coverage. Did they start a trend that maybe MNG is just taking even further?
No, I don't want to say that Gannett is the one that started a trend. I'm an expert in corporate media ownership and the implications on democracy. Gannett is certainly one of the corporate owners that we could look at that has puts profit ahead of coverage, and I think that they're not the only ones. But Gannett still did a Pulitzer Prize-winning series, actually its first Pulitzer Prize last year for a series in the Cincinnati Inquirer, or for work in the Cincinnati Inquirer on opiates and the effect, the devastating effect opiates had in that community. And I think that there are still journalists at Gannett newspapers all over the country, you know, some of them in Milwaukee, at the Journal Sentinel, at smaller papers across the state. I think there are still reporters at those Gannett-owned papers that are trying to fight the good fight and trying to do good work, just like I think there are probably still, I mean, Digital First, which MNG operates as Digital First. So the Digital First papers, they own 200 newspapers in the country. I still think there's probably great work being done there, but it's going to get harder. And I was actually joking with friends yesterday. I said, you know, Gannett, we've long been critical of Gannett and how it operates. It's, it's closed bureaus. It's laid off staff. In 2008, they laid off so many reporters at papers that it was known as, quote, a bloodbath. So I think that, you know, the fact that we are looking at the takeover of Gannett and looking like hoping Gannett can stay in control of a group of newspapers is really dark days, I think, for journalism.
If this deal happens, and it's not a done deal, if it happens, what are your concerns about what this means for a local community that loses a lot of their local journalists? What's that going to mean for people, for democracy at the local level?
Yeah, and I think that's a great question. And I was a local news reporter at a Scripps Howard-owned paper that is now owned by Gannett. And it's in the same community in South Florida where my father lives. And I can tell you, every Thanksgiving I see a little bit chipped away, right, what it means. More national news goes into those papers, and more wire service news goes in. More stories that are more entertainment or information than what we would consider news. So I think if this deal goes through, what you can expect to see across communities in your state, what you can expect to see is going to be less coverage. So let's say you have a school district with 20,000 kids and you have one reporter that covers it, and that reporter gets a buyout. Well, now what that newspaper might expect its reporters to do is the person who's covering the county or the city next to that one might take on the role now of covering education in both of those communities. So that's when we talk about cost cutting. That's kind of what we're talking about is, you know, one person who used to cover one dedicated beat might be expected to do two or even three beats, not to mention to do all the other things that reporters are expected to do. So I think that you're going to have reporters who are going to be kind of doing surface content. They're going to be doing easy stories. They're not going to be digging in ways that we would hope our reporters would do in order to look after and hold governments accountable, look at real deep dives into finances and records and investigative journalism. Those stories are harder to do when you're just trying to get a paper or get a website updated every day. I think that's what readers are going to see. They're going to see more surface coverage, and it's not going to be news that holds government officials accountable.
We're talking to journalism professor Margot Suska from American University, looking at an offer, a plan to buy out Gannett Newspapers, which owns 11 newspapers in Wisconsin alone, lots around the country, including the USA Today, what impact that could have on coverage at the national and local level. Margot, big picture. There's been a sense, of course, a reality that newspapers have been facing challenges in recent years, newspapers and their websites. The standard narrative is it's all the internet and how that's cut into newspaper revenue. I've seen another argument that says, no, it's corporate ownership, hedge fund type companies or investors coming in, buying these newspapers, treating them, their profit margins comparable to, you know, a technology company or something like that, and making these cuts. How do you stack those two up?
Well, I think that it's a little bit of both. And I think that when people talk about the internet coming in and disrupting, what they really mean is that newspapers, which used to be so profitable, right, in the 1980s and the 1990s, even early 1990s, were so profitable. They made money. And that's why you saw a lot of corporate owners come in and buy up newspapers. They thought they would be able to print money. Along came the internet. So when we talk about the internet disrupting the newspaper model, what that means is that the advertising revenue that was generated by the classified section of newspapers was things like eBay and Craigslist and Monster.com completely took all of that ad revenue that went to newspapers and they put it online. So when we talk about the internet disruption, that's really what we mean is that the money went online and it stopped going to newspapers. And then big companies or corporations who own these newspaper chains started to see, whoa, wait a minute, these aren't as profitable as we thought that they were. So I think that's what happened to the internet. At the same time, I think, in my opinion, corporate greed played a role in it, because what they started to do was say, wow, well, we've better cut back on some in order to keep giving this profit to shareholders. We'd better cut back on our coverage. So in addition, what you had was that these local papers that used to have great journalism, they started cutting back on coverage, and readers started paying attention, and they started to notice that coverage was worse, admittedly. Then they had the internet that opened up all these other avenues of free information, things maybe that weren't as newsworthy, but that could pass as news. They kind of stop tuning in. So I think it's a little bit of both. It's like, well, who do you blame? Is it the corporate owners that started to give worse coverage? Is it readers who stopped tuning in or went to other sources? I think you've got so many factors at play that it really is a little bit of both. And I'll be curious to see how readers react to, you know, a digital first takeover of papers when they're getting even a shell of coverage where they already think they're probably getting a shell of the coverage that they got 10 and even 20 years ago.
Let's throw another model of newspaper ownership out there. A rich guy, usually a guy, whether they're named Hearst or Bezos, puts their money into a newspaper for whatever reason. Does that work as a viable alternative? Is that potentially a savior for some kinds of newspaper coverage?
It seems to be working. I've seen, the Washington Post, which is owned by Bezos, is hiring. They had a big hiring blitz at the end of last year. And I think that it seems to be working. Now, what is the benefit of that model, if you were, is if you're a Bezos, and not that I've talked to him, of course, but If you're a really rich philanthropist, you might be happy with a 4 or 5% return on investment, whereas a Digital First or a Gannett, their shareholders might be expecting double-digit percentage return on investment. So I think there's the benefit in that model. They want to make a little bit of money, right? They're probably not getting into it to lose money or just for the sake of democracy, but they're going to be happy with a smaller return on investment. Also, when you have one owner, the rich guy owner, as you mentioned or as you said, one owner doesn't have to justify to shareholders why a stock price, in the case of Gannett, has dropped 41% in 2.5 years. They can understand or they can look at it and just decide what they want to invest in. What we've also seen are non-profit or not-for-profit models of journalism. I'm encouraged by these. And these might be sites like the Marshall Project that look specifically at one area, an area of criminal justice. I work here at American University with the Investigative Reporting Workshop, which is a nonprofit journalism group. We train young journalists coming in. And this might be a model, I think, that works as well. But certainly, I think we can agree this corporate model is not working.
We're talking to Margot Suska of American University, looking at corporate media ownership and its impact on news coverage.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Does this worry you? Do you read a Gannett-owned newspaper yourself? Maybe the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel or another USA Today Network Wisconsin paper? How has local news coverage changed over the years where you live? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. We're continuing our conversation with Margot Suska of American University about a potential sale of Gannett, the publisher of USA Today.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you still have a local newspaper in your town? If you don't anymore, do you miss anything about having local journalism in your community? Do you have questions about how all this works for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Margo, if I want to buy a big newspaper chain, do I have to make any regulators happy? Are there laws limiting my ability to do that?
No, there. Unless your company also owns broadcast stations, that's really what the FCC is concerned about, is ownership of certain broadcast properties in the same market. But even those rules have been largely demolished in the last 20 years. So, no, you as long as you've got about $1.4 billion, have at it.
I'll check out my bank account and we'll go to our callers. Matt is with us in Madison. Matt, hello.
Hi. Actually, this segment that we're talking right now is a locally produced show. And I think that radio programs and stations like this, along with local television stations, are actually where most consumers are getting news. And it may not even be 100% through this medium. You know, if you're in the Madison area, you're probably visiting one of the websites of the local television stations to get your local news. And I think when these large conglomerates buy many different small papers, you have the radio effect, you know, the Clear Channel and the iHeart effect, where it's the same thing everywhere. And that diminishes the brand all across the board, because you can go anywhere to get national news. And people are looking for what's happening in my community, what's local to Wisconsin, that isn't something that's regurgitated from somebody who did an analysis who knows where. So I'm actually glad that we're now having these local programs returning to public radio, and that we're also seeing the local television stations stepping into the online news and really focusing more local.
Matt, thanks a lot for the call. So Matt, seeing two kind of different trends here, too much national content coming into radio and broadcast and newspapers, but he's seeing some pushback on some venues too. Margo?
Yeah, agree. I think that he brings up a good point. I think Gannett's slogan is national is local, which I think is just a way to get more wire coverage and have one reporter in Washington disseminate news to its 100 newspapers nationwide without having reporters in those communities. People want local news. They want to know about their kids' school. They want to know about zoning and planning and how it's going to affect them. They want to know if the runway at the airport is going to be lengthened or the airport bigger. Is that going to, you know, all these are big issues that affect us. Environmental issues. And people want to know those stories, and they want to know them from reporters who are trained and committed to those beats. But I would, you know, urge people to say, you know, are they willing to pay for it? And I think what, you know, certain newspapers have shown is that people are paying for coverage that I don't, you know, it's just not worth it. Why would you pay for it to get national news when you can turn on CNN and kind of see the same thing for free?
Matt, thanks a lot for that call. Go to Marianne now in Door County. Marianne, hi.
Hi. I'm just calling because I just got my renewal for our local paper that's owned by Gannett, and I had decided I was not spending the money because it only comes out twice a week. It was owned by a family for over 100 years, and there just isn't any local coverage. Nothing on local government or schools or there is good news. We do have a new paper. I don't know. It's about 5 years old, maybe a little more. And it's thriving. It's free. So, Gannett, they closed their office here in Sturgeon Bay. I went in one time to buy an extra copy, and there wasn't even change in the drawer.
Marianne, thanks a lot for the call. Is that a story we're seeing in especially smaller communities around the country, Margo, where, okay, the paper's still there, the local coverage gone or close to gone?
Yeah, gone. Or you see, you know, these companies that are doing, you know, kind of picking at the bones of what's left on the ground. And I know I mentioned my father's paper in South Florida, Gannett owned paper. In the last 6 months, they started charging. He still gets it in print at the end of his driveway every morning. And they started charging a delivery fee. I mean, so, you know, it's just not it's not sustainable for readers to keep putting up with. I think that, you know, to start to keep seeing coverage that's just been decimated, and then to be expected to pay more in subscription, and then to pay things like, you know, a delivery fee, which, you know, we've expected for 100 years to have it delivered to us.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Mary Rose in Westfield. Mary Rose, hello. What did you want to bring up?
Hi. I wanted to ask your guest about, you know, how you watch documentaries about the dictators and how they attack the media. And when I watched a documentary about Putin, he took over the newspapers, and the biggest ones, he was just his news was in those newspapers. So I was wondering, is that any connection here? And that's why we don't hear the local news?
It certainly is got a lot of attention after Deadspin published. You may have seen it go viral. A piece with Sinclair anchors reading the same script that came down from its corporate office. So I don't want to use the term dictator, but I think that there is a concern about certain corporate interests having an influence over the content that's in corporate-owned newspapers or even corporate-owned local TV stations.
Thanks a lot for the call, Mary Rose. Matt joins us next in Green Bay. Matt, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Matt?
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to say that I'm a huge nerd of newspapers. I love them so much. and I'm from the Rock County area, so a really great newspaper down there is called the Janesville Gazette. Very excellent local coverage. I mean, they couldn't do a better job. I've seen them. They're owned by Bliss Communications. I've seen that slowly, like, wane. Like, their writers are still there and everything, but, like, I heard Gannett. I'm up in Green Bay right now, and the Green Bay Press Gazette is so bland. I can't justify even spending $2 on it. I miss my local Gazette, because, man, I tell you, Gannett just doesn't do me justice anyway as a newspaper reader.
Matt, thanks a lot for the call. In our last minute or so, Margo, is there a viable funding model for a locally focused and maybe locally operated newspaper?
I'm hopeful that the internet is going to open up new opportunities. I don't think newspapers are dead, and I don't think that local coverage is dead. I think that people, just like your callers who just called in, are going to start to rally around. We need local news. And I think if we see small sites get developed, maybe they expect 10,000 readers, maybe people pay $8 a year. I don't know what it's going to cost to make them sustainable, but I think that we can start hiring reporters to cover those local communities, and people can start accessing that void that's been left by corporate media. I'm hopeful, and I think that, but cautious.
Margot, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thank you.
That was Margot Suska, professor of journalism and director of the Masters of Journalism and Digital Storytelling Program at American University. She was with us to talk about corporate media ownership in the U.S. and the news of a potential sale of Gannett.
Coming up Monday on Central Time, black lung disease is still a grim reality for the coal miners who provide fuel for power plants in Wisconsin and beyond. We'll preview a frontline documentary on the ongoing health crisis for miners.
Teenagers today are feeling a lot of anxiety in their lives. A lot of people point toward social media as the culprit. But our guest says a big part of the problem, he works with kids, he says there's been too much focus on career planning from families, from schools, and more at too young an age for those teenagers.
And on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we'll hear excerpts from a speech Dr. King made here in Wisconsin.
That, plus we'll look at some of the top news of the day. Don't forget the live MLK Day celebration here on Wisconsin Public Radio at noon. All that coming up Monday on the Ideas Network and here on Central Time.